Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
Welcome back to Defined by Moments, and go ahead and grab those Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 18. We have been moving through the book of Proverbs, and we're now coming towards the end of this major second section. And this section, we're going to cover really chapter 18, verse 22, all the way through chapter 20 and verse 4. And the reason that we're doing so is, let me just be honest, there are too many amazing verses here that if we were going to go through and do a verse-by-verse exposition, it would take forever. We would be continuing to mine this, and we would be in this Proverbs series, you know, until, you know, quite frankly, I'm no longer here on this earth. So what we're going to do is we're going to take this section as a larger chunk. And really, I would entitle this one, The Goods. So there are tremendous treasures that we can get into, but what we're going to need to make sure that we do is we're going to just pick out a couple of highlights and walk them through, and we're going to start really with verses 5 and verse 9 in Proverbs chapter 19. This is where we're going to spend the majority of our time today, and you'll see why once we dig into this. But go ahead and look at Proverbs chapter 19, verses 5 and verse 9. Verse 5 reads, "A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape." Verse 9. "A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will perish." Now, any time that we see something in God's Word is extremely important. But when it is repeated almost verbatim within the span of one paragraph, that's important for us. So really, as we look at this, there's witness trouble. There is a good witness. There is a false witness. Let's really start to unpack what this thing says here. You know, in both verse 5 and verse 9, you know, there's only one difference, and we'll see that in just a minute. But when it talks about a false witness, it speaks of a sham, an intentional untruth. So let me say that again to make sure that you got it. An intentional untruth. This isn't a, oops, I didn't put the right number of zeros here. This was, I intentionally decided to try and defraud someone. This false witness is also a major disappointment, because the expectation is that if you have wisdom in your life, then that wisdom is going to translate into truth. But we see here that does not happen. But it says a false witness will not go unpunished. Now, when we hear the word punishment, we often think of what parents do to children. You know, they'll ground them, they'll take away, you know, their toys, or they'll, you know, they'll won't let them go do whatever. But this aspect here of being, you know, them not going unpunished, it means cleaned. It means that they're going to be cleansed, that they're going to be blameless. You know, I remember as a kid one particular time going out and just playing and getting filthy dirty. And mom and dad told me to go take a shower, and I did. Well, it wasn't much of a shower. It was pretty much just hop in, throw some water on you, and get back out. And then my dad got involved and said, "Boy, you didn't bathe. And you're going to get one more chance to go in there and wash yourself like you should, or I'm going to come clean you myself." Well, I got the message. But that's the piece here. This false witness, this intentional untruth, they're not going to avoid this process of being clean. So instead of being just here, they are going to have to go through a process where that faithfulness, lack of faithfulness, is going to be dealt with. So they're going to go through a process of cleansing. But notice how this continues. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies. Now, this aspect of breath, it's just what we think of. It's just as natural as a breath. You know, it's just one of those things that we do automatically. That is the implication here. Someone that is breathing out these lies, they are doing it automatically. Again, it's that intentional untruth. But it also speaks of kindling a fire. So just think about it. If you've got some dry kindling and you get a spark and you start to see the smoke, what are you going to do? You're going to get close to that fire and you are intentionally going to blow air into it to produce that flame. That, my friends, is a perfect explanation of what happens when we tell lies. We are blowing vibrant life into a flame that will be destructive. So that's what's happening here. In intentional untruth, they're going to go through a cleansing process. They're breathing out. It's natural, those lies. Now, the amazing part here is this term in Hebrew, lies, is first used back in Numbers chapter 23, particularly in verse 19. And this was where the false prophet Balaam had been contracted out by, you know, some enemies of Israel and say, hey, I need you to curse these people. Balaam was going to go curse them for money, and then God would not allow him to do so. So even though Balaam was supposed to be deceitful, even though he was supposed to pronounce judgment upon Israel, and he could not, when he was questioned, why are you blessing them instead of cursing them? He turns around to these you know, strangers and says, well, God cannot lie. God cannot intentionally be untruthful. God cannot do anything that is other than what is right, what is wise, what is righteous. The individuals mentioned in these two verses are the exact opposite of that. So we see intentional untruths. Those individuals are going to go through a process where they are clean. We see that they are just breathing this out as naturally as could be. And it is contrary to what God is. But here's where verse 5 and verse 9 then differ. Verse 5 closes with, these individuals will not escape. The term here simply means to slip away due to slipperiness. Stop and think about a fish. You know, if you see a kid that is trying to hold on to a fish for the first time, they are just slipping all the, they're dropping them. That's what this is. So what Solomon is saying here, these people that are not wise, that are being intentionally untruthful, they think they're going to slip out of the grip of someone else, but they're not, because God's grip is sure and He will clean them. But notice verse 9. Verse 9 is different. Instead of saying that it's something's not going to happen, Solomon flips this around and says something will happen. They will perish. And what he's talking about here is they will wander away. They will lose themselves. Why? What is he saying here? Well, if you're not a faithful witness, if you are false in your witness, then you eventually are going to lose track of all the lies that you were telling to cover yourself. And when that happens, you've lost yourself. Your integrity is gone. Your reputation is ruined. Your character destroyed. So this aspect of perishing also means being broken into pieces. You know, I had a really good friend of mine in college. It was a fantastic basketball player that shattered his ankle. You know, I broke mine in high school, but it was a break. His was shattered to where they had to do major surgery to reconstruct this thing. You know why? Well, because it fits this word. His ankle perished. It lost itself, and it was just crushed into oblivion. If you do not live with wisdom, if you do not stake yourself as a person of integrity, if you do not follow the truth, and you know what's going to happen? You will perish. That's what Solomon has for us here in this first little section. But we can also jump back to Proverbs chapter 18, look at verses 20 and 21. Notice what he says. From the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Solomon is telling us very clearly that words matter. The words that we say can satisfy us or they can destroy us. The words that we say can bring life or death. The words that we say can produce love or hate. So what we need to make sure that we do is when we have wisdom, we need to make sure that we hold on to the goods of wisdom, the good words. That is absolutely critical for us. You know, something else, and again, I know I'm jumping around here, but if you look at verse 22, Solomon says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." Skip on over to chapter 19 and look at the first part of verse 13. He says, "A foolish son is a ruin to his father, and a wife's quarreling is a continual dripping of rain." So you might find a wife, but the question then becomes, do you have the right wife? You know, I have been blessed with a godly woman who has made me better, who has been patient with me, who has really helped round my rough edges. And she is someone that I could not live without. But Solomon is saying here, there's wisdom in having that individual that will shape you and will make you better over time. But Solomon also talks about, for lack of a better phrase here, the way of life. Look at chapter 19 and verse 16. He says, "Whoever keeps the commandment keeps his life. He who despises his ways will die." Our way of life has to be governed by some kind of foundational truth and foundational wisdom. And for Solomon, he says it's keeping the commandment. What commandment is that? Well, it's going back to God's law. Now remember, way back when we first started this series, the kings of Israel, one of the things that they were expected to do was to physically take a writing instrument and write out the books of the law by hand. Why? Because they would know it, they would hopefully internalize it, and then they would live their lives in such a way that people would know that they have attuned themselves to God's law. So the good way of life is rooted to the right form of truth. Verse 23 of the same chapter, verse 19, or chapter 19, verse 23, Solomon says, "The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm." If we fear man, then we are just going to have a life that is always up and down. Why? Because what man thinks is right changes. I mean, let's look at a historical example. You know, there was a time that everyone believed that the world was flat, and then if you sailed too far in one direction, you would just go off the edge of the world into oblivion. Well, that has changed. Now it is the world is round. You will always go around. It's a circumference. You can circumnavigate the world. Man's wisdom changes. God's wisdom does not. In this aspect of fearing the Lord, where we hold Him in such high esteem, we have an awe of who He is. That awe leads to actions in our lives. And what does that do? It produces life because He is the life giver. But look at verse 27. Solomon says, "Cease to hear instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge." If you lose knowledge, what happens? Then you can't have wisdom. Because wisdom is the application, the right application of knowledge. And it all goes back again to his thesis in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is what? It's the beginning of knowledge. If knowledge is foundational to wisdom, and knowledge begins by fearing the Lord, then the way that we stay on the right path is that we align ourselves to His wisdom, His truth, by fearing Him. You know, let's go ahead and skip to chapter 20 and verse 1 here. We see a warning. Solomon says, "Wine is a mocker, a strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise." Now, we've talked about this very briefly in an earlier passage, but Proverbs does not come out and condemn drinking. Solomon is very clear that if you are led astray by it, if you are consumed by it, if you become a drunkard, then you're not wise. He condemns drunkenness. You know, my father, before he became a Christian, was very much, you know, stricken with wine. He was addicted to alcohol, but once he trusted Christ, that changed. And the amazing part about it is his life completely changed because of what this says. Wine is a mocker. It makes fun of you. You do stupid things. You end up on YouTube because, you know, you were drunk and you fell out into some crazy situation. But it goes further and says it's also strong drink is a brawler. It's not that just it makes fun of you, but it causes you to do stupid things that next thing you know, you are in the middle of a fight. How many families have been destroyed by alcohol? You think about historically the temperance movement here in America. Why was that taking place? Because the men that would be working in the factories would walk by all the saloons and all the bars on their way to their mill homes, their mill villages. And they would spend so much of their money there, they wouldn't have anything for the family. The temperance movement came out to try and stop some of this mockery and some of this brawling. What really happened is, you know, everything just went underground and the black market arose, and we ended up with prohibition. But then you had your moonshiners that were running, you know, liquor in the mountains and in the hills. The issue is not the vice. The issue is the heart. What are you basing your life? What are you basing your choices upon? And the last thing that we'll do is we'll go back to Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 1. Listen to what Solomon says. Now remember, Solomon is the richest man in the world at this time. He said, "Better is a poor person who walks in his integrity than one who is crooked in speech and is a fool." In other words, we have a choice to make. Do we want to be wealthy and foolish? Or do we want to be, in comparison here, poor but wise? You know, I do not consider myself wealthy, comparing me to other people in this country. But if you compare me to what much of the world has, I would be considered wealthy. The thing that we need to make sure that we understand is that God has given us what He wants us to have, not so that we go and blow it on ourselves, not so that we go and just try and make more, not so that we acquire more things, but He has given us what He has given us so that we in turn can bless others. That's where Solomon is hammering this point home here. If you don't have much, but you have your integrity, your character is sure, you're rooted in wisdom, you are wealthy. The flip side to that is one that is crooked in speech and is a fool, and by implication with the structure of the verse, is wealthy. Why? We'll talk about this in another chapter. I'll go ahead and flip on over there. But what do we know that Proverbs 22 and verse 1 says? A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than gold or silver. It's not wealth in this world. It's wisdom. It's not money. It's helping others. It's not hoarding. It's helping. This is the thing that we have to make sure that we understand. In this section where we're talking about the goods, well, those goods come from what God has given us through His Word so that we have the wisdom to be able to act the way that we should. So two lessons, and we'll wrap this up. Number one, every choice is deliberate. Four simple words, but let me say it again. Every choice is deliberate. We have this one wonderful thing in our world where we love to pass the blame. Something happens, oh, it was his fault. You know, if you go back several years ago, there was a case where someone purchased a hot cup of coffee at a fast food restaurant. They sat it in their lap, and when they pulled off, the coffee spilled, and it was hot, and it burned their legs, and they sued because there was not a warning label on the coffee cup. Well, guess what's there now? I understand that that happened, but my friends, there was a choice that that individual made that led to the burns. Every choice that we make is deliberate. We cannot pass the blame to other people for the condition upon which our lives are in. We have contributed to that. We have to own that. The second lesson to this is that every deliberate choice produces a life that we either accept or we alter. Let me say that again. Every deliberate choice produces a life that we either accept or we alter. Look at Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 2. The terror of a king is like the growling of a lion. Whoever provokes him to anger forfeits his life. There is a very clear choice right there. If the terror of the king is like a roaring lion, If you know that king is a lion and can tear you apart, you're going to make a choice. The choice is going to be to anger him and suffer the consequences, or the choice is going to be to not anger him and to have some consequences. But what we have to do is we have to look in the mirror. We have to recognize that we are a contributing factor to where our life is, and we make that decision. You know, one of the biggest things that often comes into people's minds is, you know, improving their health. You know, I just recently went to the doctor and had put on some weight. Guess what? I was the one that contributed to that. I was the one that was drinking those soft drinks. I was the one that was eating those sweet foods that I should not have, and I knew better. And I also was not working out like I should have. So I made deliberate choices along the way, and those choices added up. So now I am in a position in my life where I have to make a choice. I'm going to accept that life and go, it doesn't matter, or I'm going to alter it. That is what wisdom does for us. Wisdom lets us know the right way to live. Then the choice becomes ours and whether we're going to change it or not. So as we wrap this up, let me give you those two lessons from this larger passage overall. By the way, I would encourage you to read through this section, and you will see how these two things fit together. Number one, every choice is deliberate. And then number two, every deliberate choice produces a life that we either accept or we alter. Thank you for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back in the not-too-distant future, and you take care.